Phil, turn to Galatians, please. I'm in Galatians chapter 3. This is our part 6 of the book of Galatians. And hold your finger there or put your marker there, because I'm going to go through actually several scriptures this morning that talk about the heart of what we're after. Remember in the book of Galatians, you had Judaizers who told the Christians Paul had taught and reached for the gospel. He told them you had to become a Jew, be circumcised, keep the Ten Commandments prior to becoming a Christian. It was anathema. It was wrong. It was error. The just shall live by
grace.
By faith. Right. And grace. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and in what he has done alone, not your works. And so the heart of that expressed in Galatians is what we're after, and we have been in that for 5 earlier messages that are online. Online is gracechristiancenter.us. and this morning we've got a few other scriptures we're going to do before that. Some of you have heard my past a bit. I went to Washington State University and many, many decades later fell in love with a Husky. Pastor Sherry. Anyway, I remember I'm a bottom line guy. I wanted to do my thing. Thankfully, most of the time it was for Jesus. And I wanted my own single room as the moment I could get it, as soon as I could get it. I didn't want anybody else in my room telling me what to do. My room, my domain, that's my room. And for 2 nights in a row, I had stayed up working on a communications final exam and different things that I was doing, and I was exhausted beyond belief, and I was working hard. You know, the thing is, the difficulty of cramming is the bottom line result. After you get your test, you might do well at the test, and then you forget most of what you crammed for. Anybody else find that to be true? Yeah. But nevertheless, man, I spent 2 days doing this. Now, there was a guy down the hall. This guy lived every which way but right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this guy was terrible for me before the Lord. He was anathema, man. He was just bad news. And of course, I've been a good spirit-filled, born-again Christian. I just dynamically looked down my nose at him until the Lord brought me to repentance, right? And so, come on, you're all looking so holy. You've never done that with anybody. I mean, you go, you can see, read the facial expression. You're horrible. All right, I'm still praying for the guy. Okay, all right. Anyway, so I looked down my nose at this guy, and I was on a wire, a thin wire, and I was beyond exhausted. I had to get this project done, and this guy was sitting on the floor and swearing and everything else, and he was just bad news. But he looked at me, and he said, you know, he knew where I was. Yeah, I mean, I was the kind of guy, we'd worship in my room, and one time, the persecution in those days, they pinned me in my room, you know? You couldn't get out of the room. That was the depth of persecution, a little different than the folks in Nigeria are going through. But anyway, I was just fit to be tied in knots. And this guy who was not respected by me looked at me and said, hey, man, you know what you need to do? I almost sneered. What? He looks at me and goes, you need to go talk to the man. And I thought of Balaam's donkey who talked. And I stopped and I went, you know, you're right. I am so wrong. You're right. And the Lord used that man to speak to my heart. And I had to, you know, I was wired and fit to be tied, had preacher's itch, wanted it all, you know, I wanted to do everything. I had small goals. Number one on stage, screen, and number one in life, and right away, you know, small goals. And the Lord just had to wrap me up and tie me down and allow me to come to an end of that. And that guy was right. I was so full of anxiousness, I forgot that the Master holds His arms out to take us in His arms and say, what are you so uptight about? I did it all for you. I did it all for you. Some of us are fit to be tied still today because we don't know what the next steps are going to bring, and we don't know where the money's going to come from or where the health is going to come from, and the people we want to have cooperate aren't cooperating. Come on, don't look so holy at me. The people we want to have do something aren't doing something. And Jesus says, why don't you just come into my arms? I took it all. And that man, that kid down the hall, was so right. And he knew enough to tell me, why don't you go back to the Jesus you talk about? The power of peace with God. Sometimes we can feel far away from God. We don't know how He went or where He went, or how to get to Him. I want to talk for a moment about the garden communion. Communion in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to rehearse a little with you. You can look at me this morning at the end of the time and you can say, we know that, but I'm going to rehearse with you. What does the Bible teach about all of this? God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He walked with them every day. Every day. Just like He promises you and me. And then we come to where He instructs them about the trees. Man, this gorgeous vista, these fruit trees, beautiful, beautiful trees. And He says, look, there's just one I don't want you to eat from. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge, good and evil. But I'll give you everything else. And you know how we are, right? You know how we are. We focus on the one thing He says don't do, and we think that God is a mean God. Instead of saying, look at all the rest of the orchard. But that's the one, of course, the devil, the serpent, came and said, did God really say, isn't that where the temptation usually comes in? Makes you question, did God really say that? Is that really what God said? You sure you really have peace in your heart? You sure? And they sinned. And the Bible says your sin separates you from God. And what happened is fear entered in. Fear entered the relationship because they knew they weren't right with God. And so what did they do? Come on, church. What did they do? They hid themselves. What are you doing? Hiding out from God? How many know God sees? And He knows. But fear enters in. That fear was not what God intended them to experience. That turmoil, that fear, that distance. But sin separates us from God. Sins bring death, brings death. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no taking away or remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that. And this death process enters in. Physical death comes. Hell is real. Heaven and hell are real. Make your decision to be right with God and go to heaven. But hell is that death and separation from God. But that anxiety, that sin, that condemnation, that separation enters in from sin. And God allows an animal's blood to be shed because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And He comes up with a whole system. He lets an animal's blood be shed. And He puts skins on them. Where do you think the skins came from? An animal had to die to give up its skin, right? That makes sense, church? But it covers their nakedness. And then they were cast out of that garden of communion. But restoration Restoration. God bringing us back to Himself by grace. Say that with me, would you please? Restoration. God bringing us back to Himself by grace. His heart, His freedom to live every day in His presence, to walk with Him, commune with Him, hear Him, see Him face to face. Our ears are His, our heart is His, and we can know the Lord. It's not a struggle to get through to Jesus. It's just love Him because He set you free. So we live daily in His presence and joy and forgiveness and deliverance and freedom of covenant, freedom of communion with God. No hindrance, no shame. And that's only possible through our Restorer, our Redeemer. Please yell out His name. Come on. Jesus. Come on. Again, everybody bowl me over. Jesus. Someone here this morning feels this. Someone here this morning feels you're not good enough. You keep messing up, or you lost your hope at times. How come I can't get this right? But you've come here today to try again. And Jesus wants to set you free from all that effort and struggle and strife. Because it's only through Jesus. Anxious thoughts. Someone here, without anybody knowing, might also be cutting yourself or doing anorexia or bulimia or any other kinds of multiple activities because of the anxiousness that drives you on the inside. When the revelation is, God, open your eyes, He's done it all. Jesus has done it all. Let's talk about Israel for a moment. Now, we spoke last week about Abraham, and Abraham was called by God, believed God. He went out and left his country. He had God's anointing and blessing on him. And in him, the Bible says, every family on earth is to be blessed. Genesis 12, verse 3. God birthed Israel to be His witness, His living testimony in the earth. The nation of Israel was created by God. Moses goes into the mount. He gets the vision. He gets the commandments. He gets it all. And basically, Israel is birthed as a nation. And they're the people of the law, the people of the word. They're to be the people that demonstrate the love of Father God to this earth. People are welcome to join themselves to them. But the Jews got proud in their relationship. The old phrases that they still use today is the Jews are near to God and everyone else is far from God. So they missed the time of their opportunity. But God had something bigger because remember, what is He doing? They were cast out of the garden, out of His presence, and Jesus, God, is after what? Restoration. Come on, say it with me. He's after restoration. He's after restoration. So Jesus comes. So Jesus comes. Born as a baby who split the darkness of our world, who splits the darkness of our lives. He grew to be the man who bore your sins and mine on Himself on the cross of Calvary. The sins that separate us from God, the punishments, the weights, were on Him. And that forgiveness, that grace, that mercy, is not just forgiveness for an action. That whole redeeming, washing, cleansing, new beginning, that whole redeeming of life is in Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary. So Paul comes to Corinth and he says, I come preaching nothing but Christ and Him crucified. He had gone toe-to-toe with the philosophers in Athens. Didn't do any good. Few people got saved. So he goes to Corinth and he says, I ain't here to win any arguments. I'm just here to tell you about Jesus and Him crucified. It's impossible for anybody in this room, no matter how good you are, to perfect yourself. Someone say amen or oh no. If you rely on good works to save your soul and you're not reliant on His good works, you're lost. But because of His good works, because of what He's done, He loves you so much. He did this. And He sent Jesus to take the punishment and pay the penalty. Watch the scriptures. We do these scriptures a lot. But if we do them so much sometimes, we can allow them to become trite. Please don't let them be. Do you know this whole theme here? We quote John 3:16 all the time. Do you know He says the same thing two verses in a row in verse 15? He says virtually word for word exactly the same thing. Two verses in a row, He said, I want you to get this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, whoever believes in Him. Abraham was counted righteous because he believed God. Whoever believes Jesus, whoever believes Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And one verse earlier, He says, guys, this is Jesus speaking this. He says, guys, if you'll just believe this, you don't have to have eternal death. You get eternal life just by believing Me. Jesus is everything. Come on, church, say it with me. Jesus is everything. He's everything. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now I'm going to go through a section of Scripture from Romans chapter 5. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. I'm going to have it over here as well. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. And I know we're in the book of Galatians, but this is the heart of what Paul pours out in Galatians as well. Romans 5, 6 through 10, I'm reading from the New King James. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In the right time, at God's time, Jesus came and He died for you and me, the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God, say it with me, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him. So that anxiousness that separates you from God or makes you feel that way, that you have wrath on your shoulders, is a complete anathema and the complete opposite of what God is teaching through the Scriptures. His Word says, the wrath is dealt with, the wrath is gone, the blood has come, you're clean, you're righteous, you're pure, you're forgiven, God is great, and now He's redeemed you. You are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Wrath is gone. Anxiety, get out. Anxiousness is gone because of what Jesus has done. Jesus is great. And you'll look at me and go, Pastor Kevin, you're getting a little worked up. I'll get more worked up if I need to, because He's so great. He is so great. And what He has done is so complete. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Man, He did that for you while we were enemies. How much more then, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The people that look at you like Judaizers and say, you got to do this, 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 and this if you want to be right with God and want to be saved. He's made you right with God through His blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. So what's the result? Peace with God. Somebody say it out. Peace with God. The war is over. forgiveness, grace, mercy, love, life, deliverance, complete freedom. Church, remember where you've come from. Remember what He's done. You can't earn this. You can only receive this through Jesus. Jesus, say it and say it strong, is the only way of salvation. There's not 150,000 ways to God. He's the only way of salvation. Only Jesus did this for you and me. Turn to each other and say, only Jesus. Let's talk about peace with God. Peace with God. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. You want to turn there? You can. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. I'll read it from the New King James. Then I'm going to give it to you from the Passion Version. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. Important, important. The whole Word of God is important. But listen. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the... Come on, by the blood of Christ. Oh, it's not up there. By the blood of Christ. That's what the Bible says. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one. He has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now, there's a whole teaching. I'm not going to try to take time and go in here this morning. But that second part of that verse is all about Jew and Gentile. Jews told the Gentiles, you've got to become one of us in order to become a Christian. And God says, you don't have to become that. You're not going to be that. You're going to be brand new. One of the early church fathers said, you got gold, you got lead. You melt them both down, and they become something brand new material. And that's what we've been made, a brand new person, Jew and Gentile. Walls of partition and division are all gone. We're all one in Christ Jesus. How many know and understand that the healing of race division is in Jesus Christ? Black is absolutely beautiful. Brown, yellow, red, absolutely beautiful. White, absolutely beautiful. All are precious in His sight because He's the Father who makes us one with Him, one with each other. Thank God you're in the family of God. Reconciliation comes through Jesus Christ. Now watch this out of the Passion, and that is up here, I believe. Yet look at you now, Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to Him. I love that. You've been brought delightfully close to Him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You've actually been united to Christ. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. Say that with me. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He's made both Jew, He made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ by dying as our sacrifice. He has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. You're free. The war is over. The division is over. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you have re-entered by error, what you believe determines how you live. If you have re-entered a wrestling match over this, the devil is throwing shame and condemnation and junk on you. He is the enemy of your soul. You need to tell him to get back to the pit of hell where he belongs, because you're clean and free in Jesus. Jesus died, buried, rose again, made you clean and free. He did this for you and me through His blood. Through His blood. Bathe in that peace again. If you never have, bathe in it for the first time then. Because it's what Jesus did. Nothing, you say it strong, nothing, nothing is more powerful than His blood shed for you and me. anxiety, anxiousness, a spirit of anxiousness, it's broken in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to hear me this morning. Maybe some 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 10. Somebody, God said to me this morning before we even got here to church, this needs to be broken in Jesus' name. And you need to say, I'm clean by His blood. Your sin isn't only covered over, church. It's gone. Yeah. Wake up! It's gone. Now let's see it in Galatians 3. Let's go to Galatians 3. Everybody awake? Yeah. Galatians chapter 3. I'm just going to refer to four verses. Galatians 3, verses 10 through 14. We're talking about the power of peace with God. Galatians 3, 10 through 14. I'm going to read it through the New King James, and then I'm going to take some couple of verses from the Passion. And the reason I do that is because I believe it gives us a quickened understanding, a better understanding, a bigger picture. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For, say it with me please, the just shall live by faith. Now come on again. The just shall live by faith. One more time. The just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith. But the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, all of us in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through Him. Now I'm going to read verses 13 and 14 through the Passion, and I believe it's all up on the screen. I'd really like you to look into it and tune into it. Watch what the Word says. Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed it completely as He became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a tree is doubly cursed. Verse 14. Jesus, our Messiah, was cursed in our place, and in so doing, dissolved the curse from our lives. I said He dissolved the curse from our life. Jesus dissolved the curse from our life. So that all the blessings of Abraham, all that relationship, all that righteousness, all that good news can be poured out upon even non-Jewish believers. Anybody here happy about that this morning? And now God gives us the promise of the wonderful Holy Spirit who lives within us when we believe in Him. Children of Abraham, by faith. What does it mean? We believe God. Do you believe the Word of God this morning? I said, do you believe the Word of God this morning? Do you believe what Jesus has done for you this morning? Then tell the enemy to get off your back. Tell the enemy to get out of it. Get back to the pit of hell where he belongs. Tell every anxious thought to shut up in Jesus' name. Look up and declare that I am clean by the blood of Jesus. I'm a brand new creature in Him. I am not going down. I'm walking on with Him. I have the mind of Christ. Come on, lay your hands on your own head right now. I have the mind of Christ. Someone say it with me. I have the mind of Christ. Every anxious thought within me, I curse and rebuke right now in Jesus' name. I have the mind of Christ. Now with every eye closed, Jesus is talking to you this morning. There are people in this room. I want every eye closed. I don't want you looking around. Jesus is talking to you this morning. Because some of you have come into this place and you live a wrestling match in your soul. And Jesus said, honey, I've already solved it. Now I want you, if that's you, to raise your hands. Nobody's looking around. Should have raised your hands. Come on. Come on. I know there's several people. I'm going to give another moment. Keep it up. Keep your hands up. Go ahead and put them down. Now, in addition to anxiousness, some of you are full of fear in this place this morning. And some of you don't like my meddling with it. But God's meddling with it. Because God wants to set you free. Jesus wants to set you free from anxiousness. He already did. And He already set you free from fear. He knows your address. Jesus knows where you live. He knows what's going on. And He loves you so much. He said it over and over again, prophecies this morning. Those were not rehearsed words that we all got together ahead of time and said, okay, I'll say this, you say that, you say that. No, God said, I want my people to be reminded of my word. Now, every eye closed, I'm serious. I want you to raise your hand if you're fighting fear this morning. Come on, raise your hands. All right? All right. Would everybody please stand now? Everybody stand. Musicians, will you come? Roxanne, go ahead and put up your graces enough when we're ready for it, please. Now, everybody, I'd like you all to raise your hands. All. Father, you see your people who have responded to you this morning, many people in this room who are fighting with and wrestling with anxiousness and with fear. And there are still other things. Lord, right now, we are going to take authority over this, and we do. We take authority in the name of Jesus. The authority of Jesus. We take the authority of Jesus, and we rebuke you, anxious spirit, anxious thoughts, fear and turmoil and twisting inside. We rebuke you in Jesus' name, and we cast you to the pit of hell where you belong. Get out in Jesus' name. We claim the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, over your saints this morning. Every wicked thing that exalts itself against God is cast down. Fear, anxiousness, gone in Jesus' name. Now everybody say, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, this is the day to do so. I don't know if that's describing anybody in this room, but make your way up front if it does. If you need healing in your bodies, I've asked our brother Bob to come on up front and pray and spend some time praying for people. Bob has seen miracles happen as they prayed for people throughout the years. And other team members, come on up around and join Bob. There's oil for anointing. How many know His grace, His blood, it is enough? So I pray for you this morning that you leave here with the joy of Jesus in your heart and you are free. Not just forgiven, free. Your whole life, your whole mind, redeemed, clean by the blood of Jesus. So go out of this place with the joy of the Lord as your strength. Say that with me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I receive it in Jesus' name. So if that has, if you have a need yet in this morning service, come on forward and Bob will pray for you for physical healing. God bless you. Be released, church, in the power of His presence. Thank you, Bob.